So I think you're sleepy. Come back in an hour.
Need sleepy.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in the tundra called Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligero, and it's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning to everybody. Hope everybody's doing okay. We're glad to be with you today. And a special shout out to all of our viewers on Fight TV. And we're glad to be part of the Fight TV programming. And hey, do yourself a favor. You want to watch this show on your handheld? Download the app. Best way to do it, go to fight.tv. That's FITE.TV/Billy C. And get this show and many others on Fight TV. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria, an Italian restaurant located in beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. Actually, it's located on the island. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com. Or give my man a call, 912-268-2328. 912-268-2328. Find out why we know that Sal's restaurant provides the best Italian cuisine you can get anywhere, even including Italy. Check out the website. And by the way, if you're heading south on I-95, you can enjoy a great meal at Sal's by taking a 15-minute detour. That's right, 15 minutes out your way. And that's including stopping for a couple of lights. So if you run them, you'll get there even quicker. For the directions and for the address, just go to www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Fire Fan. Hey, man, you like fantasy games? Sports fantasy games? Well, check out Fire Fan. It's a new concept in sports fantasy games. And I'll tell you right now, if you go and check out the game through our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Fire Fan banner, which is on the left-hand side, you will get the games for free and be in a position to win money. That's right. Don't put up a nickel and win some cash. But you got to go into our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Fire Fan banner, which is on the left-hand side. And speaking of about our website, you got to check out billycboxing.com. We've changed a lot of things around. All the boxing news that's fit to print is right there on the front page. It changes several times during the day, so make sure. Do yourself a set billycboxing.com as your homepage. That's your best bet. And finally, today's show, she's being brought to you by my book, Tom Mono, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all good books are sold. And you can literally get a copy of it right now where you're watching the show by going to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. Trust me, it's Black History Month. This is the book to get. Tom Mono, what a story. And get the book and help me rewrite the way history should be written. This is a guy that's not getting any credit only because of the color of his skin. Read what I'm talking about. Find out why we got a 5-star rating across the board. If you're looking to get a signed copy, go to the website, billycboxing.com, and click on the book club section and follow the directions. Don't forget in the comment section, if you want it signed specifically, write it in there. Hopefully we'll have some time to open up the phone lines today. I got some emails to read, but today's topic, again, falls on one of the world heavyweight champions, Deontay Wilder. And, you know, I really feel sorry for Deontay Wilder because the truth of the matter is, you know, Deontay Wilder, the man, is a great guy, and he means well. You know, he's a family man. He cares for his kids. The part about Deontay Wilder that's got me jacked up is really nothing to do with Deontay. Deontay Wilder is being fed such a line of shit from the people around him that he's this great heavyweight. I mean, I got some quotes I'm going to read from him, which really proves to me that he's so delusional about where he fits in the heavyweight picture. Now, granted, he's got a belt. He's got the WBC heavyweight title. But this man has fought no one. And he honestly believes, and it's sad, and it's dangerous for him to believe that he's really that good. And he's not. Does he possess punching power? Of course he does. Of course he does. Can he throw a jab? He did against Berman Stavern in the first fight, you know, in his fight with Stavern. I mean, he clearly did that. Has he ever shown anything else other than headhunting? No. And has he ever had to? No, because he gets put in there with cupcakes. Cupcake after cupcake after cupcake. And not only that, he's still going through with the lawsuit against Alexander Povetkin, which I can't see even... to be honest with you, I'm shocked that Povetkin and his team even came to New York to go through that lawsuit. And speaking of New York, he's in New York with the lawsuit while he's supposed to be fighting at the end of this month against the sub, which they're billing as a last-minute sub, which he's really had 4 weeks to train in Gerald Washington. And he's just another guy that joining me right now, and I'll get to that in a second, because I could just keep going on, and I need somebody to level the playing field here. Joining me right now, Sal, Rocky Senecola, from a much warmer place than I'm at right now. What's up, Sal?
Good morning, Billy C. How are you today, my friend?
I'm jacked up, and I'll tell you why.
I can tell.
I'll tell you why. Deontay Wilder, you know, he looks like and I've never met him personally, so let me make sure everybody understands that.
you might not want to meet him after this.
I know, after this, he might squash me like a bug. But the truth of the matter is that he seems like a really nice guy, and I'm starting to feel sorry for him, because I'm going to read you some quotes that he's had, that he's been saying. And, you know, the thing is I saw an interview with Gerald Washington, who is fighting Deontay in February 25th, to be exact, in Alabama. And, you know, it almost looks like what I gather from Washington is that, I don't want to say it, Sal, but I'm going to. It seems like Washington is being paid. I think he's being paid money to go in there and really not give it his all. I think he's going in there to be a sacrificial lamb. He's been promised a big check, and I don't think we're going to see. I don't think Gerald Washington's ready for a world title anyway. But I hate to use the F word, and not that one. I'm talking about fixed. I don't think it's going to be a real fight. What do you think?
I believe, you know, you're right. It's not going to be as competitive as we'd like to see. And, you know, Billy, I often refer back, and I hate to say when movies follow life or life follow movies, but, you know, imitates, I should say, that word. You know, as you and I earlier said, this may not all be Deontay Wilder's choice or fault. For all we know, this guy could really feel he is the baddest man on the planet.
He does.
And really no fault of his own. I don't want to get on the analogies I could often make, but I'm going to anyway. You know, we saw some movies decades ago about Primo Carnera, The Harder They Fall, how he was carried and fed some fights to prolong his title reign, or how even in Rocky III, against before he faces Clubber Lang, and I hate to use these analogies, but you know, Mickey and he have a little quiet time, and he breaks down in tears because, you know, Mickey tells him, "Hey, kid, you know, I don't know if you're ready for this guy. You'll never be ready for this guy. He's a wrecking machine." And
what do you mean? I beat everybody.
Yeah, but they were not all the fighters yet. You know what I'm talking about. And so maybe Deontay Wilder is, you know, falling in this path. And he's being led and fed to the lesser opponents that could prolong his title reign. It's good for his cash. It's good for his promotion. It's good for the people on his side. They get the money coming in, and they have a paper champion for as long as they could. And he's got some talent. He's got some ability. I don't mean he's a paper champion, but he certainly is not fighting the best heavyweights there are out there.
We know, first of all, he's been fed so many cupcakes, I think he's a diabetic right now. But, you know, the thing is that I honestly believe that he believes all the voices in his ears telling him he's the best. Well, and yes. And the thing is that a lot of fighters today avoid the best fights because, you know, they want the easy route to the best money and all of that, which you're not going to knock them. But the difference with Deontay is that he really believes that he's the best. And let me give you some quotes. There's a bunch of quotes been publicized. And by the way, we got a couple of decent fights on tonight, which we'll get to a little bit later, and some fights that were added to some big events coming up down the road, and some big news in the female boxing, which I think
they still have that sport.
And I think they're really on their last leg trying to get people to really give a rat's ass about it. But we'll get to that in a second. And here's some quotes that Deontay Wilder has said. Now, he's in New York City because he's currently going through the lawsuit with Alexander Povetkin in the doping case. I'll get to that in a second. But Deontay Wilder says, there's a lot of heavyweights out there. Now I'm sure this is in response to what Luis Ortiz put out in the press the other day. But he says, there's a lot of heavyweights who say they want me. But at the end of the day, do they really want this? do they really want this? Everybody knows that Deontay, now this is Deontay Wilder talking, so he's already adapted to talking about himself in the third person. He says, do they really want this? Everybody knows that Deontay Wilder comes with power. You know, okay. He says, you got to be patient in this sport. The big fights that people want to see will be coming. And obviously he's referring to himself and guys like us who say, you know, fight somebody. He says, I'm not scared of anyone, and I won't run from anyone. My team is on the same page, and we're going to keep working on together and moving forward. That's basically like a politician statement right there, Sal, because, you know, that says a whole lot of nothing, you know. He says, I fight for the people. And again, he's trying to use some words that obviously, have been taught to him. They want him to say certain things. He says, I fight for the people. You know, that's what I'm all about. Well, if he was fighting for the people, he would be going after the big fighters and trying to create a legacy instead of what most people believe of Deontay Wilder, and that's just a cupcake eater. He says, I like to give the fans a great fight at a reasonable price. I mean, what is he, Walmart? I mean, come on.
I was going to say, hey.
Yeah. he says, in every fight, I'm always exciting and I'm always prepared. I come to give people what they want to see. They want to see a heavyweight with a knockout. Well, you know, yeah, we want to see heavyweights knock out other heavyweights, but we want to see heavyweights fight real heavyweight fights and knock them out. You know, who he's knocking out is just like hitting a heavy bag that's got arms and legs. You know, he says, when I knocked out Artur Spitzka, I thought he was dead. That's just from natural Alabama country power, all right? This is him talking. He says, I'm still training while I'm here in New York. I got Breland here with me helping me stay in good shape. I'm focused, and when February 25th comes, I'm ready. I'm sorry, but when you're doing other things and you're not in your environment, your training environment, it ain't the same. I don't care what you're doing. I've traveled many places with fighters for big fights. And, you know, especially when you go to Europe, you're there, 10 days before the fight to acclimate and everything else. And it's not the same. You know, they're working in a gym that's not their gym. It's not the same. I don't care what they say. He says, I feel 100%, but, and here we go again. But. We'll see how I feel when I'm in the ring and apply my force to a human skull. When I'm in the gym I feel great. Now, he's referring to his hand. He broke his hand and his bicep and everything else. And he says, I never really let my hand properly heal until I got this injury. He says, my bicep injury takes longer. This is an opportunity to see if it's improved. And he says, speaking of improvement, Because of my injury, I've improved my left hand, and I feel like I'm more of a polished fighter. He says it's about adjusting. He says, when I fought Chris Areola, and I love this statement because this is showing us, Sal, that he really is reading from a script. He says, Chris Areola's style was perfect for me. Even with injuries that I was suffering, I could still get the job done. I had to fight through the injuries with Stavern because I hurt my hand in the third round of that fight. Being able to have these experiences has made my confidence even higher. I mean, he's saying Chris Areola's style was perfect for me. Well, hello? That's why his handle
That's
isn't...
That's why he went in the
Exactly! Exactly! What's your thoughts on these comments?
Well, that was just... His last comment was very revealing. It might have been a tune-up fight, I'm teasing. But I think for sure that... he's got some splaining to do, and I think, like I said, it's not all his fault. I believe the guy in his heart of hearts feels he's a whirlwind beater, and I think he's being guided and talked to and believing his own press clippings, and right now, I think it was something that... he's got to stand up. He's got to stand up and face the music. That's it. And he's going to get his opportunity, I think, this year. And you know what? Let's see what happens. He's going to either be revealed as what you suggest he might be, or he's going to surprise the hell out of the boxing world and be a dominant force against all opponents. I doubt, but we'll see.
Well, I hope he does well. I really do. I want an American champion. I don't think he stands a chance against Joshua or Klitschko or, any real fighter. I just think that he's going to, what's going to happen here, and I see the writing on the wall, he's going to act like he's the draw. He's following the Mayweather the path, right? He's going to act like he's the draw. And he's going to eventually not get the fights. Because he's going to either ask for too much money or he wants everything in his favor, et cetera, et cetera. Then he's going to come out in the press and say that the other fighters are avoiding him. I don't see him fighting a top legitimate heavyweight ever. Ever. I just don't see it happening, Sal. And, we'll see. We'll see. And speaking of that, one last thing on Deontay, and we'll move on. He is in court in New York with Alexander Povetkin on the doping case. Now, in case you guys forgot about it, Deontay Wilder is suing Alexander Povetkin for $5 million in damages for losing a payday for the fight that didn't take place due to Alexander Povetkin testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Now, I don't see how... he can win this case. Now, regardless of the positive tests or whatever, I don't see how he can win this case. And the reason I think this is because he's actually gotten two paydays since that first fight. I'm sorry, but I think it's a bullshit case, and I'm curious to see what happens with it. And, if the courts do rule in favor of Deontay Wilder, get ready for a lot of frivolous lawsuits. I think Deontay Wilder should have just shut the F up and went after some top guys. Forget Povetkin. He tested positive not once but twice. Forget him and move on. There's plenty of other fish in the heavyweight sea. You like that?
Heavyweight sea,
yeah,
absolutely.
For him to fight. Some other quick news, Sal, and we'll read some emails and open up the phone lines. Showtime. Has announced that they're going to be airing the first ever main event featuring a female fighter. It's taking place March 10th out of Detroit, and two-time, not one, but two-time Olympic gold medalist Clarissa Shields will be headlining when she steps in the ring, and she's 1-0, by the way. She will be stepping in the ring with Sunset Zabadados, who's got a record of 15-8. That's going to be the main event on March 10th out of Detroit, Michigan. So We'll wait and see what happens on that one. It was announced that Andres Fonfara, who's now being trained by Virgil Hunter, and this is a guy, you know, he's picked up a couple of big fighters. He's just so overrated, and I don't think he's going to help Fonfara. I don't think Fonfara was any world beater to begin with, but Andres Fonfara is going to be fighting on the Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia undercard, and he's fighting one-time world champion and a guy who has sunk deeper than the deepest abyss that you can find in the ocean, and that's Chad Dawson. So Fonfara Dawson will be fighting on the undercard of Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia. And speaking of undercards, it was also announced the other day that Andy Lee, former world middleweight champion, 34 wins, 3 losses and a draw, he'll be fighting on the undercard against Triple G and Daniel Jacobs. He's taking on Keandre Leatherwood, who's a pretty tough opponent. 19 wins, 3 losses and a draw. So we'll see what happens in that middleweight fight, which is scheduled for 8 rounds. We got some fights this weekend we'll touch on, but first, let's get some emails out of the way, Sal.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
This first one's from Jesse. He says, hey, guys, what's your thoughts on the 49ers hiring John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And John Lynch, who everybody knows was a great cornerback, you know, defensive back, is now the GM with an asterisk. They're giving him limited, power as a GM, first-time GM, former player. Maybe John Lynch will go on to become a major player as a GM. John Elway certainly is a good one. But I'm not so sure it's going to be with the 49ers. I think he'll learn about it with the 49ers and then go somewhere else. I don't know. It's a total question mark. As far as Kyle Shanahan goes, Jess, you know, I got my reservations about Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan did a great job with the Atlanta Falcons, but in the biggest game of his career and the biggest game in, you know, the Falcons season, and arguably Matt Ryan's biggest career game, Kyle Shanahan came up short. Kyle Shanahan, and in my opinion, his ego got in the way of thinking smart. You know, you come out in the second half against arguably the best team in the National Football League for many years, the New England Patriots, with a 21-3 lead. Anybody that knows a little bit about football, anybody that has played Madden over the last 20 years knows that you got to eat out the clock. You got to keep the ball on the ground. Take your time. Kyle Shanahan's ego with his throwing the ball on every down got in the way of his thinking. And he continued to throw the ball and put it up in the air, which ultimately gave Tom Brady and the Patriots the time to do what they did. Now, granted, they still had to make the great catches and score and everything else, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan helped the Patriots and Tom Brady win that game by being stubborn and being a guy with a big ego by not going and doing what he should have done, and that's running out the clock. Even, Sal, if he hands the ball to a running back and they run 3 times and have to punt, they eat up more time off the clock than they did by throwing passes and throwing incompletes and giving the ball back after 10 seconds click off the clock.
Yeah, I mean, we look at it now from the outside looking in. We saw it then. It never surprises me how we assume that people are smarter than they are. And many times it's the common sense things that really prevail. And you look at that game, look at the way the clock was managed, you look at how they could have really owned that last 3 minutes. You know, that's something they're going to live with. And egos may be humbled, and people may realize and learn from it, or people may not. Maybe, you remember old parents or grandparents would say, you gabadosta, you hardhead, you know? Some people are just... I guess just too hard-headed to realize. Then look at the back the facts and do it, because they could have sewn that up. They could have had that. And it was a hell of a game. It was a competitive game to the end. And with what we saw New England do that last half, and especially that last quarter, with I think it was 31 or 30 unanswered points, I mean, it was just a precision work of surgery that had the stars aligning for them. But yeah, I think that definitely Atlanta could have and should have managed that clock a little differently with a little different plan in the end.
Jesse goes on to say, Billy, I don't think the tide has changed as far as boxers fighting the best. Spence is the exception because he wants to face the big names. He's not waiting around. A lot of these boxers say, I will fight this guy, and when the contract arrives, they don't sign it. Look at Danny Garcia. Manny offered to fight him, and Danny didn't want to fight Manny Pacquiao because Danny didn't get $20 million. And that's exactly what I was saying. You know, these guys, you know, they'll turn around and say, oh, well, you know, Danny Garcia will say, well, Manny Pacquiao didn't want to fight me. He ducked me. Well, the whole part of the story is, you know, he was offered $10 million and he wanted $20 million, and that's why the fight didn't happen, you know. Anyway, he says, Robert Easter versus Luis Cruz is a joke. Cruz keeps on losing. He still gets these title shots. He's not good. Easter should have faced Beltran or Shakhvirov. We'll talk about that fight. And I personally don't think Robert Easter won the title. He won the title when really he shouldn't have even gotten the chance. So, I don't know if I can argue with Jesse on this one. I believe him.
Jesse comes up with some good emails.
Yeah, I believe that the fight is a joke as well. That particular card, I'm not too interested in. Although the Rasheed Warren and Zanat Zakayanov fight is one I'm interested in, because I know Warren has got the hand speed and the boxing ability, but Zakayanov is a power guy that generally can cut the ring off and break his opponent down. So it's going to be interesting to see that one. And as far as the fights on tonight, the one I like is really Ivan Baranchuk against Abel Ramos. I think that is going to be a competitive fight. But anyway, one last email, Sal. And this one is from Johnston over in England. And he says, hey, Billy C. and Sal, I just want to say a massive thank you for accepting my blast from the past on Salvador Sanchez on Wednesday's show. Alex did a great job as usual. Let's hope the youngsters listening will take some time out to educate themselves and watch a few fights. By the way, Jesse says, I think Salvador Sanchez would have swept Carl Frampton and Leo Santa Cruz. He had a better chin and overall better boxer. That's no doubt. I mean, the title bout championship computer game showed us that even statistically wise, Sanchez would have dominated pretty much any of these guys today. Anybody that wants or has a suggestion for a blast from the past, just drop me an email, billy@talkingboxing, talkinboxing.com, and we'll do our best to get it up there. He says, the main reason why I want to write you guys this email is because I was over the moon at the announcement of Brooke versus Spence. I know it's not completely set in stone yet, but Brooke will not just vacate his title. So for me, it's just a matter of time. I've read that it's been penciled in for June 4th. Potentially to take place in Sheffield or maybe in the U.S. if the money's right. Wherever the fight is, I can't wait for yet another massive welterweight clash between two of the best fighters in the division. I was recently in the chat room when I mentioned that a Super 8 competition would be perfect for the welterweight division. Now, four of those eight guys are already scheduled to fight each other. I think the number one spot is still up for grabs, and for me personally, Garcia, Thurman, Brooke, and Spence are the top guys at 147. It's terrific that these guys are putting their careers on the line, so let's hope we get to see the two top bouts. He says, if the fights have a clear winner and no rematch is demanded from the fans, it would be great to see if the winners would then fight each other to unify the titles by the end of the year. Although I don't think this will happen, as Eddie Hearn is already looking to put a Brooke versus Khan fight together after the Spence fight. But my current number four pound-for-pound ranked fighter, Terrence Crawford, has an ongoing spat with Garcia on the social media, so this one could be made at some point after his fight with Felix Diaz in May. My fifth pick is welterweight and WBO champ Manny Pacquiao, who's locked in to face off Jeff Horn on April 23rd. You know, is that fight signed, sealed, and delivered? I think that I know that they've offered him a boatload of cash and Horn accepted and all of that stuff, but I have not heard that Manny has signed, sealed, and delivered that contract. But anyway, he says, I don't think this will be an easy fight for Pacquiao, and I respect him for taking on the Aussie in his backyard. Could we have a Rocky moment with this one, a local fighter who captures the public imagination and provide an entertaining fight coming out like Creed and Balboa? You know, you and these guys, Sal, who keep referring to the Rocky as like a real fight, I can't stand
it. You know what it is? They just showed the whole Rocky series the last couple weekends. Just for the whole thing. And you know what? Let's not fool around here. I got to tell you, I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, Vinny Pazienza and I, we spent a lot of time together early on. Do you know, Vinny Pazienza saw the first Rocky, and he decided that night that he wanted to be a fighter when he watched that movie. So, you know, whether I tell you the truth, that movies imitate life, life imitates movies. It's entertainment either way you look at it. But the real life with real fighting and real boxing, I know it's not just what we see on the screen with the fiction. So go ahead, continue.
You know, it's funny. I'll just say this about the Rocky series.
I watched
the first one, and like everybody else, the first thing I did was crack some raw eggs into a glass and drink them, you know.
But I did the same thing.
Everybody did, you know. But after that, I couldn't stay interested in it. I really couldn't. The first Rocky was a great movie, fictional movie. And, you know, the whole series with him, especially, I thought it would be funny when they had Robert De Niro and Rocky in a comedy movie fighting as old men. no disrespect to you, Sal. But,
watch where you go.
I couldn't even watch it.
At least my opponent was younger than I was by almost 20 years.
Yeah, this is true. But I couldn't even watch it. But anyway, he says... the other three in my top eight are Sean Porter, Timothy Braley, and Amir Khan. I believe Sean was trying to negotiate a matchup with Lamont, you dummy, Peterson, but that fell through if the rumors are true. He says Peterson is now scheduled to fight WBA interim champion David Avacian in February. Desert Storm, Timothy Braley hasn't fought since losing to Pacquiao in April, and I haven't heard much recently other than the possibility of him taking on Miguel Cotto or even Juan Manuel Marquez, but it's looking likely that Cotto versus Marquez is now on the cards due to Kirkland's fight thankfully being canceled. So I'd love to see Porter versus Bradley, which would be another terrific matchup and would really take the welterweight division up another notch. You know what's funny about Porter versus Bradley, Sal?
It's
two guys that nobody else wants to fight. You know, Timothy Bradley and Sean Porter have to be two of the most underrated fighters in boxing, let alone in the welterweight division. You don't hear anybody calling out those two, especially Timothy Bradley. Timothy Bradley gets a bad, this bad knock on him. You know, he's a great fighter, you know, pound-for-pound fighter. And so is Sean Porter. Sean Porter, he's not afraid to fight anybody. He's a dangerous opponent. And, I would have loved to have seen Keith Thurman grow the hairs on his little teeny balls and fight Sean Porter in a rematch. But obviously he's taking on Garcia. Anyway, he says, lastly, there's Amir Khan. Being English, I do want to see him fight Brook, but a lot will depend on the outcome of the Spence fight. To be blatantly honest, I think he would lose all to all of these guys, and he seems more interested in sex tapes and calling out Mayweather. But if he needs a tune-up fight to test his repaired hand, then maybe Andre Berto or a rematch with Collazo. But it'll be more like the Russian Dmitry Mykolenko, the WBC silver champion that has recently defeated. You know, Amir Khan is Amir Khan.
You're talking about the politician, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, the fighter.
Yeah, Amir, A-M-E-R-E-C-O-N.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
He says, sticking with the King, Khan, Deshaun, recently crap, I just want to express my total displeasure of Mayweather versus McGregor shenanigans. I just wish Floyd would retire and concentrate on promoting instead of parading boxing through his embarrassing circus. He needs to sign up with Shane McMahon and to piss off the WWE and take that Pratt David Hay with them. These guys are making a mockery of a serious sport where guys put their lives on the line. I mean, you need to look no further than the HBO fight when Muara defeated Roman and Burchell stopped Vargas. It was like watching two gladiators with ancient Colosseum in Rome. The money-making publicity stunt rubbish just confuses the youngsters that are trying to learn and understand the boxing. It's embarrassing the sport. I think the media are the main culprits, and they plug the BS as they know it. Saying all that, I don't think it will happen. But then again, I didn't think the Brexit would happen. Either Trump would become president of the United States, or Lancaster City would win the English Premier League, so what do I know? I'm going back to boxing. I'm going to throw my head on the block and predict what I hope will happen. He says the two super fights, both will be very, very tough to call. He says, I'm going to take Garcia over Thurman and Brooke over Spence. Brooke will then finally knock out the Bolton Queen once and for all. And while Garcia defeats Pacquiao to unify the WBC, WBA, and WBO titles, Garcia versus Brooke in 2018 would then be the fight that finally cements the true undisputed world welterweight champion. The division is finally going to heat up again, so let's hope the fights want to continue in 2017. What do you think? Who will win, Garcia, Thurman, Spence, Brooke? First of all, thanks for the email, Johnston, and all the time it took you to write it.
Good email, thanks.
I just think that, you know, as much as we want it, I just don't know if it's going to happen. You know, these guys don't fight each other. You know, there's a lot of politics involved. The big politics is, you know, one promoter won't work with another promoter, one network has a deal with a fighter and he won't fight on the other network, etc., etc. The division in sport, in boxing specifically, is terrible for the sport. The other thing I think is terrible is the fact that this BS and circus that you mentioned, Johnston, is being accepted by a lot of young fans. And the reason that we continue to get this BS is because they accept it. Once the acceptance is not tolerated, once they just say no, then maybe you'll see the big fights. I hope you're right. I hope they all do fight each other. I wouldn't count on it. As far as your predictions, I don't have an official prediction yet. You know, I've always liked Keith Thurman. But thinking about how he's been acting lately, you know, I believe in his press clippings, it's hard to root for him. As far as Danny Garcia, you know, he's a blue-collar, lunch-pail type of fighter. But his father makes you root against him. So I don't know. As far as Kell Brook, I love Kell Brook. But Errol Spence might be the real deal. I don't know. They're tough fights to pick, Sal. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to be competitive fights. They're going to be good fights. They're going to be fights that I'm looking forward to seeing. And, you know, I do give my point, counterpoint, and my heart of heart feelings right before the fight who will win those fights. And I'm going to do the same thing for you then.
Yeah, well, me too. I just can't.
It's going to be great.
I can't pick them right now when the fights get closer, you know. We will. But speaking of fights that are close, this weekend we got a couple of fights, and I don't know how competitive they're going to be. Robert Easter is taking on Luis Cruz, and Luis Cruz is challenging Easter for his IBF World Lightweight title. Cruz is coming off a loss. Easter's coming off, in my opinion, an upset win. I think it's a showcase fight. It's on Bounce TV. I'm not expecting any knockout, drag-out fight here. I believe it's going to be Easter, who holds a huge height and reach advantage over Cruz. I just think it's a showcase fight and one of these typical BS fights that we've become so accustomed to. As far as the Rasheed Warren and Zanat Zakayanov fight, I like that fight. You know, Rasheed Warren, you know, he was a great amateur. He doesn't have much pop. He's got a lot of hand speed. Zakayanov is going to be a tough test for him. I'm looking forward to that fight, and that's also for Rasheed Warren's WBA title. Over on Showtime tonight, We also have Ivan Baranchek against Abel Ramos. And I like that fight. That's in the junior welterweight division. And I like that fight. It's a non-title event. Thank God two good fighters are fighting each other. And the winner's going to move forward. So we'll see what happens with that one. With that said, we'll open up the phone lines and take a caller or two. We're only going to take one at a time. So give us a call, 845-228-8710. 845-228-8710. And Sal, you know, it would be nice if we had great fights, knock them out, drag out fights every weekend. But, you know, it's not that I really mind having, like, what we got scheduled for this weekend. Although they're not, in my opinion, with the exception of the Baranchek and Ramos fight, not, you know, evenly matched fights. But at least there'll be some entertaining fights. And like we've said all the time, we're not expecting these guys to constantly, you know, fight, you know, world beater fights all the time. So I guess we got to accept that. For what it is. But right now we got, I think Joel is on the line. Is that you, Joel?
That is. What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Morning, Joel.
What's up? You know, I got to say, Billy, it's disappointing because I do want to see, we got Showtime, but I don't have this PD, I don't have this Bounce station, and it's hard to find online. I mean, it's not a great card, but, you know, I do have to see Robert Easter and Rasheed Warren, and it would be nice to have it on TV, but, you know, I would have also liked to see that Trey Whitney Morris fight tonight, but I know he got hurt, and I know they're kind of building him. Do you think he's will become as good as his father? Do you think he won't? What's your feelings on him? Because they seem to be pushing him pretty well.
You know, I thought he was very raw when we saw him. He's being trained by Freddie Roach, who I think has become a very overrated trainer. I was real disappointed that he sustained that cut over his eye in sparring. If he had headgear on, I just can't see how that particular cut in the location that it was in was even possible. You know, I mean, you could argue with Kirkland breaking his nose that he didn't have a full facial headgear, which a lot of fighters don't use, so you could see where the nose would get cut. But where that headgear, where that cut it was on Morrison's head, is right where the headgear is. And I don't know, Sal. I mean, can you get a gash like that from the headgear itself?
Well, you know, it depends. That buckle usually is protected and hidden for that, too, for many, many purposes. But you can get a cut. It's not that hard to even get a cut, sustain a cut when you wear a headgear, depending on the headgear. You know, they have some with the cheek protectors, covers the eyes very well. You have an open top. That's how I got a couple cuts sparring with on a butts on top of the head. It could be a chin, could be a head.
Well, this was a gash right over the eye, right on where the eyebrow is, and that's right where the headgear. That's
well,
where the padding is.
Well, I'm going to say this. Sometimes winding down, I used to wear lesser of a headgear just to feel a little bit, lighter, where I wasn't so cumbersome. But no, majority of our training, we wear pretty good, very well protecting headgear that, you know, it comes over the eyes. It could still happen because you can still get hit. And depends. Sometimes if they don't put the Vaseline enough on the face to let that leather slide. That leather, if it's not done right, it could actually work as an adhesive almost, and boom, stretch the skin if you get hit on that. Don't forget, and that's the big misconception, headgears do a certain amount of protection, but they aren't the end-all to everything, including taking the shots to the head. Yeah, it may minimize the percussion or the blow, but guess what? You're still getting that impact. You're still absorbing that. It's just through a padding, so that is protecting the skin, but your brain's still getting rattled.
Hey, Joel, you know, just to answer your question again, I think he's got a long way to go. I really do. I don't think you're going to be seeing him in a world title fight anytime soon, and I just hope that they increase his level of opposition. one notch at a time, so they give him the chance to get better. You know, he did look impressive in his last fight, power-wise, but he did leave himself wide open, and he didn't look like he had much else other than just headhunting. You know, I think a lot of these trainers and managers and, of course, promoters and even TV networks to a degree, they ruin a young fighter because they overprotect him, and they're so afraid to lose value because the sport has become so stupid and ignorant in the fact that, you know, they feel if a fighter loses, the value goes down the toilet. You know, the end result is they undermatch these fighters, and they never give them a chance to get any better. And when they finally face a tough opponent, you know, they lose and then we never see them again. So I hope that doesn't happen with Morrison because, you know, because of the name, like you mentioned, you know, yep. he does have some potential.
I just want to also say to you guys, I think it's great. I mean, I know it's fake. WWE's been very predominant on the issue, and UFC has, and I like the sense that boxing is starting to do the same thing. But it's great to see that Clarissa Shields is main eventing a Showbox. I mean, I enjoy women's MMA. The women in wrestling are taking on more of a role model in terms of, you know, not just there for the looks, even though they are beautiful. You know, that they're becoming good wrestlers, and UFC, the women are becoming good fighters. So it's nice to see. You know, we had last summer the Heather Hardy fight, then on Showtime the other week with the unification bout. I know on Showtime Extreme they had a women's title fight. So it's nice to see women's boxing kind of building these names. I mean, I know it's not going to be popular with everybody, but if you're a combat sports fan or you watch wrestling or whatever, it's nice to, you know, you appreciate that, you know, women are getting a spot on TV, and, you know, sometimes they're main eventing, and I think it's important, you know, because they are athletes, you know, they are equal to the men, you know, and sometimes they put on better fights, you know, the Ronda Rousey fight with Amanda Nunes, you know, Holly Holmes, she's fighting tomorrow night on pay-per-view, moving up to 145, so it's nice to see that, you know, women are getting their name in, you know, in the sports now, and that they're main eventing boxing and MMA and wrestling and stuff. It's just a good thing to see. I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on that.
Well, we'll see how it goes in boxing. You know, I was an advocate for women's boxing, having managed and you know, getting Chevelle Hall back to a couple of different divisional world titles. I just think they had an opportunity in boxing and they failed. And the reason why they failed is because...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear.
The reason why I feel they failed is because during a time, you know, the female fighters, and I agree, a lot of times on a card, they would be the more entertaining fight, but they were also the ones fighting the tough fights. You weren't seeing the layup fights. Now, all of a sudden, in the last, you know, year and a half to 2 years, you're seeing a lot of female fights that are in just like the men, overmatched showcase fights, and... You know, I think it hurt it. I think it hurt women's boxing you know, I mean, no disrespect, but Amanda Serrano is a great example. You know, she, you know, has not been in tough at all, you know. Until the best fight the best in the female, that was the one thing that female boxing could have held over men's boxing. They could say, hey, at least we fight the best fights. We fight the fights everybody wants to see, you know. And they could say that a couple of years ago. They can't anymore. And I think that, you know, I don't think it's going to be popular. And Clarissa Shields, as great of accomplishment she did in the Olympics, the crossover to the pros is just not going to happen.
I hope you're wrong. You know, it's just nice to see because, you know, at first, I'm not going to lie, I was a hypocrite. I thought, you know, I'm not really interested in seeing the women fight in, like, UFC and stuff. But I tell you, sometimes sometimes, like you say, it's a better fight. And, you know, I'm willing to give it a chance, you know, because I like it in UFC. And, you know, I mean, we can only see what happens. Are you, were you aware that Holly was fighting tomorrow for the 145 title in UFC or no?
Yes.
Didn't she just fight a couple weeks ago?
No, she's fighting tomorrow, but she had lost after she beat What's her name? Ronda Rousey. She had lost the fight.
That's right.
But you know, I'm surprised that people are making it like it's such a big thing that she's moving up to 145. Because she fought at 154 in boxing. I mean, she's no small girl. And listen, I'll always have a soft spot for Holly Holm. And I wish her nothing but the best. But again, I don't know. You know, Holly's got a lot going for her because she's so attractive. And I think, you know, you'd be hypocritical. Men would be hypocritical if they said they would rather see an attractive woman fighting than a not-so-attractive woman, regardless of their skill set. So maybe that will change, and hopefully it will. If the females fight the right fights, it could help. If they don't, it's going to hurt. That's all I'm saying.
They had actually talking about that. UFC ended up December 17th or whatever, had a fight, Billy, where it was the two attractive women fighting each other as the main event. And me being a big fan, it was not, you know, these women weren't, you know, if it wasn't a title woman, it wasn't really close to that. But UFC had one of its biggest ratings. It was on regular Fox. They said they had one of the biggest ratings ever. So, yeah, I do feel appearance has a lot to do with it. I wasn't entertained by the fight. You know, it was a finish. It wasn't a decision. But, you know, going into it, you know, it's like, okay, you know, they're two beautiful women, but they're not, you know, they're not up there. They're not the best. But, you know, it sold.
Listen, a German heavyweight fighter, she's a Women's Boxing Hall of Famer, Regina Halmich, is one of the most gorgeous women you ever want to meet. Outside the ring and you know, inside the ring as well. And she was a really good fighter. You know, so, I mean, listen, just to have eye candy in a ring, I mean, it's just like strippers with pillows fighting each other, you know what I mean? You know, listen, if you had... Layla Ali was a beautiful woman who could fight. And, you know, she did very well. And you know, if you could do that, unfortunately, it would probably sell. My point is simply this, whether they're good-looking or not, if they can fight and they're willing to fight the top fighters of their division, it'll help women's boxing. If not, it's going to set them back in the way I think it did. You know, when they started ducking each other in the women's ranks, which they have over the last year and a half to 2 years, the popularity, which never was really there, sunk lower. They're banking on Clarissa Shields' exceptional accomplishments in the Olympics to maybe jumpstart women's boxing again. But we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, look, hey, I appreciate that knowledge. You guys have a nice weekend. I appreciate your time. It was good to get a call in. I work one day a week now, but I was off today, so I was glad to speak to you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I don't know what you're going to do without football. We got to wait, you know, a couple months, but I know, Billy, you like baseball, so you got that coming up in a couple weeks, believe it or not, and that's it. I hope you guys have a great weekend. It was great talking to both of you.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good one.
You do the same.
Take care, guys. Be well.
Shirts coming all right, in bye. Next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, my friend. We'll talk. Sounds good. Bye.
You know, I don't know, man. I don't know about women's boxing. You know, I don't want to sound like a male chauvinist or anything, but you know, and I was an advocate for it, Sal. You know, I just I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure on Clarissa Shields, but obviously she handles it well. You know, she's already picked up not one but two gold medals in the Olympics. So we probably got time for one more caller. 845-228-8710. 845-228-8710. What's your thoughts? I know you're not a big fan of female boxing.
And again, you got to be careful because I'm not trying to sound like a sexist or anything like this. I just, you know, even when I was watching the Ward Kovalev fight, I saw in the sports pub we went to, Twin Peaks, down in Florida, and the place was loaded with 90% of the television sets having MMA. And just the one set for having the boxing. And they were showing women wrestling or MMA. And I don't see it. I just don't like it. I don't see it. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound sexist, but it doesn't do anything for me. I don't like it.
Well, I hear you.
Not one thing about it I like.
We got a caller on the line right now. Is this you, Dax?
This is me.
We got Dax Stein on the line. For some reason, your name didn't come up, but I thought I recognized your number.
I got a new number.
Oh, okay.
Hey, that's a good reason.
what happened, you know, the Time Warner, they make that change over the Spectrum, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you first sign on, you have this promotional plan, and that was about to end. They wanted to raise my bill $150. Mm-hmm. I said, no. So you know what? I went with another provider. I'm not going to raise my bill $150 for the same services.
They all do that. So what's on your mind, brother?
Well, a couple things. News, we'll get over that real quick. You know, talking about amateurs, they were talking about female boxing. You know, Katie Taylor, coach was... He made a good point over in the chat room about, you know, if she can't really do anything, you know, the female boxing may not progress. You know, over in the UK, they are huge, you know, with all their fighters. So, you know, Katie Taylor being on the two very big cards there, back-to-back, Bello and Hay, and then Joshua Wilder. And if she comes over to the States, that should help.
You mean Joshua Klitschko, because Wilder doesn't
Joshua
have the balls
Klitschko,
to fight.
I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. As you were saying about Layla Ali, point is there, you know something, they had Ann Wolf around at the time. They chose to go with Layla Ali because she was the seller. Yeah, Layla could fight, but look who she fought against. She was never in there against anybody that had any sort of talent. Same thing happened with Mia St. John and Christy Martin. You know, the talent pool was small. The promoters went for the looks. They went for the feel-good story, and they ruined that. So, you know, you blame some promoters, not the fighters. On to other things. You know, Lucas Matisse, he's going to make his return on the Canelo and Chavez undercard. Here's an exciting fight. Are you guys ready for this? This is a blockbuster. Veins Matarosian versus Ishii Smith.
Who is... Oh, God, not Ishii Smith.
I thought I was the only one not excited.
Ishii Smith is... I'd rather watch...
I think it's unanimous. I just heard a cricket in my...
And Shakur Stevenson, one of the most highly touted amateurs, he signed with Top Rank. Look for him to be on Terrence Crawford's next pay-per-view when he makes his debut.
That's a good showcase debut, I'll tell you that.
Ishii Smith. You know, Ishii Smith. I'd rather watch grass grow, really. He's a joke.
Yeah, well, you were speaking about, you know, today's topic, Deontay Wilder and... you know, his comments and how good is he. You know, the other day, I had posted a picture up of one of my favorite fighters growing up. And, you know, he never won a world title. But, you know, for some reason as a kid, I just liked the guy. He was tough as nails and he gave it
his
all.
Thank you, Dash. I didn't know you felt that way about me. Thank you.
I'm talking about the boss, Joe Hip.
What about Joe Hip? I heard of him.
Of course. What happened? What's up with Joe Hip?
No, you know, he was speaking with today's topic. You know, he's speaking about Deontay Wilder and, you know, how good is he? How good isn't he? And then I was speaking about the other day with somebody about a guy like Joe Hip, who as a kid, you know, talking about 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, he was my favorite fighter. Just, you know, I liked his style. He never won a big fight, but he was always in some wars. You know, he was stopped on cuts in a lot of fights. You know, so, but, you know, today's era, we have so many of these fights, you know, in this division. Just as the division started making headway, we continue to have these issues, whether or not it's the PEDs, or we have the showcase fights, and everybody is sitting there saying, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. And you know something, right now is very similar to the 80s, right after the retirement of Larry Holmes and right before Mike Tyson came in and cleaned up the division. You had a lot of good fighters, but no great fighters. You had belt holders, but none of them could any boxing fan really, outside of saying, you know, he's my favorite, were you confident enough to say, you know what, he is definitely the best in the division, without question. In my opinion, this guy should be the undisputed world champion. And that's what we have right here. And the promoters, what they need to do, they need to clean this up, because once again, people are losing interest in the heavyweight division just as it started to make headway. And you know, I spoke to Sal about this not too long ago. I blame a lot of this on Vladimir Klitschko, and then I blame a lot of this on Lennox Lewis, because you know something, these guys, you know, they were so dominant And then once they left, you know, they became so dominant that it seemed even the top heavyweights and some talented ones were nothing but opponents for these guys. And once they left, you know, something, the promoters went on to other things, and the division lost its luster, and, you know, it became a division where there was no money. The heavyweight division was always the big money division. And so right now it almost seems like that the promoters are like snake oil salesmen, that they know they can send anybody out there and they can claim any guy is the top guy. And because boxing fans have lost such an interest in the division, it's now hard to sell somebody because nobody is interested enough to actually look into the opponents that they're facing.
You know, any division, the whole process, the marination process is what's hurt the sport. You know, they're all waiting for these fights to marinate and make big bucks and everything else. But my point is simple. If you have the fights, when two guys are parallel, regardless of the weight division, I know you're talking about the heavyweight division, but when two guys are parallel in talent and both claiming they're the best, you know, and then they start saying to each other, well, why, you know, hey, well, let's not fight now. We can make a lot more money if we drag this on. That's where I disagree. And the reason is simple. If you make the fight when the fans want it, another fighter will emerge to take the spot to make another big fight. What they're doing by avoiding the fight, they're actually preventing other big fights from happening. You know what I'm saying? It's a trickle-down effect for the negative, and that's what's hurting the sport. Deontay Wilder, like we were talking about before, pounding his chest, saying he's the best. I would bet my last nickel that when and if the winner of the Klitschko-Anthony Joshua fight wants to fight Deontay, Deontay's going to say, well, you got to come to me. I'm the guy with the green belt. I'm the guy. I'm the more important. I'm the best. And then he'll say, oh, they didn't want to fight me, you know, because he outbid himself. He overpriced himself. That's what's going to happen with him. He's exactly like the Heart of Day Fall. He's the guy. He's the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to tell him the truth that he's overrated and he's been built up with nothing but cupcakes.
It's hard to dispute. I believe he does have the talent, but again, we know what happens when you're given too many opponents that you know are beatable. Maybe, you know, sort of to a reference that Sal made earlier. And then what happens when they get in there with a test and a guy that's not going to fall, all of a sudden the mind is like, wait a minute, this wasn't how it's supposed to happen. This isn't how it's supposed to play out. You know, I have a photo of Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, and Sugar Ray Robinson all sitting together. And a lot of guys today will talk about, you know, because this O is the big seller. You know, if you have an O, it doesn't matter the quality of the opponents on that list. That O is what matters. You know, and they speak about, well, you know, a guy like Ray Robinson, he had opponents on there that were only had 6 or 7 fights when he was supposed to be the pound for pound best. But you know something, they were fighting. This is what they did to you know, their workout. They stayed in shape all the time because they were so active, fighting 10 to 15 times a year. They didn't allow themselves to get out of shape. When you look at some of the losses that guys in that era had, I always think about what Greg Haugen used to tell me. I don't care if you fought your sister 100 times in a month. You know what's going to happen. You're going to lose one of those fights. It's just, you know, you're going to have a bad night. But, you know, that's the difference between then and today, is the guys were continuously in the ring. And today, everybody's just waiting to see what fight they can get for that biggest payday. And that's what's killing the sport. And they don't realize it's actually killing their career, because, you know what, there's just not enough money to go around for everybody to get this mega payday. So are you in this for the one payday? Then you know what you're doing? Instead of being a professional fighter, you become a professional negotiator, because you're spending all your time negotiating that one big purse instead of fighting and getting your way into a position to make 5, 6, 7 big purses. And that's what they don't seem to know, and that's where it is, in my opinion, they're being advised wrong. And we've seen that with guys like Demetrius Andrade, and we've seen that with Chris Algieri, where he had these people around him and he almost talked himself out of the highest payday of his career against Manny Pacquiao.
No, great point. Great point.
Good
Dax.
Point, Dax. Very good point.
But
last thing, good question for you guys, and I know this might, yeah, as a matter of fact, I know this is going to make a few people mad. It might even make you mad, Bill. It'll make you mad, Sal. You know, Wednesday's blast from the past is on Salvador Sanchez. Great blast from the past. Great fighter. You know, Alex Fairpoli, you know, he put out some YouTube videos up on our Facebook page, you know, of Salvador Sanchez against Wilfredo Gomez. And, you know, somebody comes on there, I'm not going to call him out like that, but he comes on there and, you know, he types on illegal. He was like he was outraged. Enjoy it now because every Don King fight is coming off YouTube by the time I'm done with this. So if you want to see a fight that anything Don King had to do with, enjoy them now.
Who's
How
that?
Smart is
who,
this?
Who is that? John from LDL TV?
That was John.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point of this? And I replied to him, why are you doing this? Do you think you're going to take these fights down and what the intention is to try and sell these fights and make some sort of profit? You know, Don King is a non-factor in the sport. I know two of his fighters since they were kids. And you know something? This is what hurting the sport by not allowing these fans to see these guys from back in previous eras. All because, again, in my opinion, if that's the intention, you know something? That's greed.
Well,
that is greed. Well, that's the same thing as charging these pay-per-views for the club shows. And again, that's something that's killing the sport. And you're going to take them down. And you know what? Just as I stated there, guess what? Somebody's going to put them right back up. So again, like these professional negotiators, you better get yourself a job that's going to pay you professionally to stand by and search YouTube all day.
Well, the truth of the matter is that whoever posted it was illegal. Whoever's putting the link to it to someone else's post, that's not illegal. You know, whatever. Don, unfortunately, I think when it's all said and done, Don King will go down in history as the greatest promoter ever. But greed is definitely it. You know, he's got a library full of fights that they believe will be worth the kind of money that Big Fights Incorporated sold to ESPN. But because of YouTube and because of the size of it and all the data and people don't care. To be honest with you, those kinds of fights, if they're not made available to the public, you're going to get people that will just dismiss them like they never existed, like they do with Sugar Ray Robinson's early fights that we don't have video on. You know, so
exactly. You know what? Now this is how you have to. You know, you have to keep the sport evolving by educating the fans. This is, we complain all the time about the mindset of the fans. We need to educate the fans and let them see how things have changed around over the years so they understand and they can make an educated opinion on what's being sold to them. And then this way the fans are able to say, I've seen it from this era, this era, this era. I've seen what these guys went through and I've seen how they made their fights. I've seen how champions fought champions. I'm not going to be sold the bag of lies. I'm not paying $49.99 for this pay-per-view. And then, you know what, that right there may force some of these promoters to sit there and say, you know what, we need to do our job a little better. And the reasons like that, and it sounds a little crazy, and I know it's a rant, you know something, that's going to help the sport as an overall, not worrying about taking clips and small footages off YouTube because we think we might sell them to somebody else. Because you know what, nobody's going to sit there and buy them. They're not buying the pay-per-views now when you're not getting two elite world caliber fighters, pound for pound, fighting each other, doing better than 150,000 pay-per-views. What makes you think you're going to do anything with these small clips against guys that, you know what, nobody really knows who they were other than what's been spoken about on social media or maybe an occasional tweet?
Great point, Dax. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Very good point.
All right, have a good day.
Take care, Dax.
Yeah, you know, Dax is right, and what we were talking about off-air is exactly what I meant with John and what he's doing. But let's keep one thing in mind. He's also doing it for Don King Promotions, so that's not really John. It's Don King's company. So, and one thing I wanted to comment before we wrap it up here, Sal, was, you know, what Dax was talking about with the fighters, you know, trying to negotiate and get the best deal and everything else, and they're looking for one fight. Excuse me. The picture it paints that's sad and obvious, though, is that they really don't care about the sport. That, you know, and my question is, should they? I mean, you know, when you fought, did you do it for you, or did you do it for the sport, or did you do it for a combination of both? And when did the sport become, you know, something that you wanted to be part of and not the other way around?
It's a good question, and, you know, I often said I love boxing so much. I really didn't look at my career in the time frame and the fragments of how I should have managed it or have gone along, and I changed horses a few times, but I fought because I love the sport. I mean, between you and I would have fought for a title for free. I mean, I just love it. It's sick. It's not right, but I know that. But the bottom line is, the value of a fighter and what he wants to do in the game. You know, I went into boxing with the intention of being somebody really, really special. I wanted to be a household name. I wanted to be worldwide. I wanted to be a champion. I wanted to be a record breaker. I wanted to be everything. And it was that carrot, that fuel, that challenge that I wanted to step up and rise to and do. I wanted to be something really special. And, you know, it's a humbling career. You realize the politics of the game. You realize the opportunities, the missed opportunities, the opportunities you don't take, and the missteps, how one could lead you off the path of where you want to really be. It's very easy to parallel a fighter that makes it, makes all the right moves, or has all the right people, and a fighter that never rises to its full potential because of some of the steps that he didn't take or did take. And but I went to the game because I loved the game, and I wanted to be something very special in the game.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, you go into it, you love it, you got to love it to be in it because it's so much work and it requires so much of your time and dedication. But at the end of the day, I mean, when the other side of the coin, I mean, you want to be able to make out the best you possibly can financially. But, you know, boxing is a unique sport. I think every fighter that makes a nickel or more owes it to the guys that came before them for the effort and sacrifice and everything that goes along with it that they put in, you know. And I think that's what's leaving, you know. And it could be every sport, though, not just boxing.
It's true. But you want to know, you just hit on the head. With every great trainer that I had the opportunity to show, to learn from, you know, you just said something that it makes so much sense. And I'm going to tell you this. Every great trainer I've had that I learned from, that was in my corner, the Don Turners, the Richie Jacquettis, even the Lou Duvies, the Johnny Torres, the Ali Stoltz, all these guys, they had given me a significant value as far as part of my repertoire, part of my defense or offense. And I was appreciative and thanked them. And whenever I would have a conversation with them, they would say something to the effect that, Sal, just remember, pass it on one day and know where it came from and pass it on one day to another fighter. And what they were telling me then, and I didn't really realize it, is they were saying, hey, we got to keep this sport of boxing on the highest level. The sanctity of duplicating what has always been the tradition of cultivating good fighters and giving them the heart and the passion and the styles from the great fighters of the past. That's exactly what these trainers were trying to implicate, trying to motivate, trying to educate us with. And I'll tell you, it just came to me right now. That's exactly what they were doing, to elongate, promote, and to continue the legacy of boxing. That's it.
Yeah, and I wish that.
And it's not being followed, unfortunately.
Right. And I was just going to say, I wish they were all thinking that way still. But hey, on this day, February 10th, in 1922, Benny Leonard wins a 15-round decision over Rocky, Kansas, to retain his world lightweight title, and that took place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Incidentally, that is a trivia question. Who was the first fighter known as Rocky? And Rocky, Kansas, is the answer. On this day, February 10th in 1917, Mike Gibbons wins a newspaper decision over Harry Greb in their six-round fight that took place in Philadelphia. Gibbons improves to 44 wins, one loss, and four draws. Harry Greb, he drops to 12-3. Talk about being early in his career. On this day in 1894, Young Griffo and George Kidd Levine fight to an 8-round draw in their fight that took place in Chicago. On this day, February 10th in 1919, Boxing Hall of Famer Mickey Walker wins a 4-round decision over Dominic Orsini in his pro debut in New Jersey, Sal. He would go on,
New Jersey.
He would Mickey Walker would go on to a 131 win, 26 loss, and 5 draw career, and which included him being inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 1990. And finally, on this day, February 10th in 1908, Tommy Burns knocks out Jack Palmer in the fourth round to retain his world heavyweight title, and that took place in London, England, on this day, February 10th in 1908. Any final thoughts, Sal Rocky Santacola?
No, I think we covered a little bit of territory today, and we'll look forward to some of these fights this weekend, and we'll be here how do you say, the same something?
Yeah, well, I just want to remind everyone and reiterate what Dak said. You know, if you have a favorite Don King fighter, you better go to YouTube and try to watch him, because, you know, right now, they're taking them all down. John is working feverishly to take them all down. So if you want to see about the fight, go watch the fights right now on YouTube, because Don King Promotions is taking them all down. They're taking them all down.
But, well, you know, I got to look at it and respect what I think Don is. I don't know what they're doing. I have no clue. I'm in the dark. But I could see from a business standpoint. I mean, as you said, Don King, in my opinion, is going to be one of the world's greatest promoters ever to be in a boxing world.
The best.
But looking at that, he feels, you know, this is his
property.
His realm,
his property.
His property, right. Because he put it together. And like everybody else, making money on things today, bootleg or otherwise, I mean, maybe he just wants to protect what he felt he put together and was implemented and done by his orchestrating what he built as an empire. And he's going to make them available, but it might be for a cost, for a price.
And then,
I mean, I know that. I'm going to want to see the Rumble in the Jungle or, you know, any of Ali's heavyweight fights between Foreman or Frazier. I'm going to want to see them again.
Yeah.
And
you're going to want to see them again? You're going to pay for them?
Well, that's just it.
Are you going to pay for them?
We don't know if it's going to be a dollar. We don't know if it's going to be whatever it is. But I'm just saying, as a businessman, that Don King, we all know he's a businessman.
No, I know. Hey, listen, I get it. I understand. Trust me. I've talked to these guys directly about it. I know what they're trying to do. They have a library of fantastic
fights. Yeah, and John's been spending feverishly hours and hours digitalizing and everything else, and it's amazing the stuff he's doing.
But at the end of the day, the world that we live in today, when they go on the internet and they find information, they do not want to pay for it. And I've experienced it myself firsthand. Listen, if you're going to go buy a good or a product or a service, and you're buying it online, that's a different story, you know. But if you want to go find some information, you don't want to pay for it. And you know, as far as that just adds to the negativity that surrounds the sport of boxing. Now, granted, with that said, it's not like you can go punch up and rewatch a NFL football game, because the NFL owns the rights to all those games, NFL films. Well, you know, the bottom line, what Don King Promotions is trying to do is they want to get all of the fights that they did and have it all in a giant library and offer it, maybe sell it, maybe do whatever. I get it. I understand. But to go back and try to, I don't know. I think it's going to backfire because it's all coming at the wrong time. What made Big Fights Incorporated successful and would put a value on theirs was that it was fight films from previous era, from an era prior to quality footage and stuff. It was only footage on guys that they have, you know. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think that anyone will ever pay for all those fights. Unfortunately, I'm not saying it's not worth it, but I just don't think people will pay for it.
Well, then again, you know, maybe Don King's packaging this, and he's got an interested buyer that's going to want to, you know, throw a ton of money and have him for his rights. Almost like Bill Cosby bought all the rights, supposedly, I don't know, bought all the rights to either Little Rascals or what else did he do? I don't know, but you know that story. And so maybe he's packaging up like that. I don't know, but I could see it. All I'm saying is, you know, John is doing what he's instructed to by Don King, and maybe Don King has this as his last hurrah, his packaging deal, what he's doing. And that's it.
Yeah, well,
it's business.
Yep.
It's business, nothing personal, you know?
Sounds good. Hey, don't forget to tune in Monday morning, same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na